Supply and demand. When it comes to investing in property of any kind, I make sure my first objective is to get an accurate read on the supply and demand in the area. I'm not talking anything complicated, just basic economics. Supply is defined as the number of rental properties available in a market or submarket. Ideally, supply should be low and demand should be high. Supply is easy to determine. In Portland, we asked our research team, specifically brokers and property managers. They had detailed data, including property names, sizes, addresses, and dates of construction. Seek out this help. Why do all this work on your own? Demand, on the other hand, is a bit trickier. Demand is defined as the number of people looking to rent. I estimate demand based on occupancy rates in the area. If a submarket has high occupancy, demand is great. If occupancy is low, demand is soft. Another indicator of demand is the prevalence of move-in incentives and specials. If there are a lot of move-in specials advertised, demand is low. If rental properties are offering no incentives at all, demand is high. Another factor to consider when determining supply and demand is future supply. By future supply, I mean any and all new rental property that is in various stages of development, from planning to permitting to construction. Future supply is a critical indicator of how properties in the area will perform long term. If through your research you find that supply is greater than demand, you may want to stay away or at least keep looking for a better market. Your job of finding residents, generating cash flow, and increasing the profitability of the property will become more difficult. And remember, the value of a rental property increases based on its operations and cash flow. In Portland, demand in the submarket we chose for our waterfront project certainly exceeded the existing supply. We knew that based on our face-to-face meetings and the fact that nothing was available in the area to rent. But by contrast, in the small mountain community of Fountain Hills, Arizona, the opposite is true. Here, rental properties, including large apartment communities, and uncountable numbers of duplexes, condos, and single-family homes seemed to be everywhere. Many were purchased by hopeful investors, and now they are competing head-on for a relatively small number of renters. The reasons for this lopsided market state are no mystery. Rather, they are totally explainable. Have you figured them out yet? The three drivers of supply and demand. Simply, there are three drivers of a market's or submarket's economics that come into play. As an investor in real estate, you'll want to keep each of these variables in the forefront at all times. They are true indicators of supply and demand. Employment. This is the first and possibly most important indicator of demand, and for good reason. If a market or submarket has lots of jobs, people will come to fill those jobs. Very basic stuff. It is a fact that jobs drive residency. So with all things being equal, property that is near to employment is in greater demand. That's not to say that people won't drive to live in a highly desirable city or town or that people won't drive to their job, but just be aware of the market condition. When you're looking for indicators of supply and demand, look at employment. In the case of Fountain Hills, Arizona, there is little to no employment base at all. Nearly everyone who lives in the town who is of working age works elsewhere, like in neighboring Scottsdale. Scottsdale, by contrast, has many employers. Both Fountain Hills and Scottsdale are desirable places to live, and both communities are beautiful places with excellent qualities of life. But Scottsdale wins in terms of employment and therefore in terms of demand. People have to really want to live in Fountain Hills, and many do. But the lack of a large employer or large office complex that brings workers to the town means that Fountain Hills will find it difficult to balance the supply and demand for rental properties for many years to come. This same theory is also true for the town's retail businesses and restaurants. Employment opportunities bring customers. The saying that people go where the jobs are is true. It's what attracted people to Houston, Texas in the late 70s and early 80s, and it's what has been attracting people to Phoenix, Arizona for the last 20 years or so. Create jobs and people will come. High employment can be beneficial for rental property investments, but be sure to look at the whole picture. Even communities with lots of jobs can still be overbuilt, thus throwing off the delicate balance of supply and demand. Scottsdale has been smart to limit the supply of rental properties. That has helped keep the vacancies low and the rents high. Fountain Hills, with its plentiful land by contrast, allowed the construction of too many rental units, and therefore vacancies are higher and rents are lower. Fountain Hills could have been a premium rental community even without a strong employment base, and once was before a boom in rental properties occurred in the mid to late 90s. Employment stability is also something to consider. As you evaluate your market and submarket for employment, look at how stable the employment base is. Are the companies reputable? Are their products or services in ever-growing demand? Is the mix of companies diversified? These are indicators of stability. Just look at Houston in the 1980s. Rental properties were booming, and then the oil industry came crashing down, taking with it banks, hotels, home building companies, and numerous other businesses. Apartments were vacant all over town, so to lure renters, owners and property managers were offering ridiculous move-in packages, including 6 months free rent, free televisions, and no security deposits. A significant drop in the local employment had a significant impact on the economy.